Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One. It's time to check Adam's voicemail.
Hey guys, it's Quentin from Kansas City. Hey, I'm Adam, and I like to do shows in Cleveland. Trash! Detroit! Trash! All the butthole parts of California that I always say is the butthole of California. Trash! No love for Kansas City! Trash!
You can leave us a message at 888-634-1744.
Good to welcome back Dexter Holland from The Offspring, Nick Hexum as well from 311. The tour, never-ending summer tour, it'll be 311 and Offspring. You guys will be co-headlining, so I'm guessing you switch opening and closing. And dates coming up, Mountain View, California, Shoreline Amphitheater, Wednesday, July 25th, and then Salt Lake City at the USANA Amphitheater, Friday, the 27th of July, Las Vegas, downtown Las Vegas Event Center. That'll be on the 28th. So tickets and more dates available at livenation.com. Good to see you guys.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
It's great to see everyone going and rocking and playing. And after all these years, after all that, the K-Rock days and
K-Rock days and Loveline nights.
All the Loveline nights. Right. Yeah. The music, now I don't think anyone had a problem with Substance. Sometimes guys have problems with substances and now they're playing sober and they're playing better. But you watch the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, there's a lot of guys up there in their 60s, 70s, and they're rocking. Like, I was watching the Moody Blues. They're doing fine. Like, you can keep going. Are you guys playing better, the same, worse? What's it like?
Better for us, for sure.
You know, I think we find ways to sound better and better. When you're first starting out, it's just all youthful energy, and you get caught up in the energy, but you might not sound that good because you're not very precise and you're just amping out. And then so you sound better and better as you go. So I think we're in a sweet spot where we still have tons of energy, but it's good to listen to too, not just watch.
We just lip sync. That's why we sound.
It's album perfect.
Yeah, it sounds just like the record.
I have been accused of that once. They were like, nobody can sound that good live. I'm like, I'll take that.
Thank you.
It's flattering people accusing you of that.
It's right up there with, oh, come on, you had braces when you were a kid.
Like, No, I didn't.
I was talking about your legs. Oh, I feel bad. Dexter, Gringo Bandito. We use it at my house all the time. Your hot sauce.
Thank you. We
everywhere. We use it here. We use it. It's like everyone's shaking it on everything
Dawson
all the time.
Dawson mainlines it. He said IV going straight into his veins.
And I was
so good.
I was trying to. I was looking at it the other day with my. I have the Hispanic nanny. You had the Hispanic nanny. You guys got together and cooked this thing up. Like, I don't know. 13 years ago or something
like that. Yeah.
How's it going now?
It's going good. We're getting into more and more stores. I think we're like 6,000 stores across the country.
Amazing. So,
yeah. We're going to talk to Walmart maybe. So, it's great. It's just a lot of fun getting it out there. And you know, people like talking about it. It's not like I'm not making, mayonnaise or something, you know, making hot sauce, and people get a kick
out of
it.
There's a sexiness to hot sauce.
Sure.
It's a sexy product, right?
Oh, yeah. You should hang out with Sammy Hagar. He'll be green with envy. You're making hot sauce?
Yeah. Oh. That's adorable.
You should hang out with that guy. I saw your refrigerator once, so I saw that you do have the hot sauce in there.
Oh, did somebody, like, tweet you a picture or something, or you just walked in here, or was it at my house? I mean, I have it all over the place.
You were away for the weekend. Yeah. He was over your house.
Yeah, yeah.
Just banging my wife.
Yeah, you know. Getting a snack.
No, what else I like about Dexter is he travels in a custom van, and it's not ironically. Mm-hmm. He does it with purpose.
That's right. It's for real. I'm living it.
I just took a tour of it, and it's amazing.
I'm trying to bring vans back.
Those
leather
seats.
Like, even the rappers aren't doing vans yet.
Really. Yeah, no. You're right. Now,
windows.
Windows, okay. Yeah. Tinted.
Oh, hold on, Chris.
It's not pervy
curtains.
At all.
You got your work cut out for you. But who was, remember, okay, I'm going to screw it up. Tony V, the guy who had the custom van place.
Who?
he was like one of those Orange County Tustin or whatever, and he's doing custom bands. Yeah, yeah. He was doing these commercials in the 90s. He was all upper body, and he'd wear these super tight black shirts, and like he'd say to like his lady friend, like during the commercial, he'd be like, "Why don't you climb into that Ford Explorer?" And she'd be like, "No, Tony, you know I have a bad back. Well, why don't you sit in one of our custom vans?" And it was great. Like, I don't think our kids are ever going to know the majesty of local commercial, like spot van places, and like the crazy characters and go see Cal. Nick, where did you grow up? Were you out here?
I grew up in Omaha, Nebraska, where there was a lot of conversion vans with like a wizard airbrushed on the side.
Yes.
Some majestic. And a little like heart-shaped window or something, and that's it.
Well, you know what I kind of miss? I miss knowing who the person was. So I have a neighborhood now, and half the cars are just a black Tesla. Like, I have no idea whose car it is. When I was a kid, there was a dude who had the van, and that van said Lovetron and rainbow tape. And it's like, nice. I knew who that dude was. Yeah. Like, when they'd see that van parked somewhere, you'd go, okay.
Personality.
Rob's in there somewhere. Like, she's somewhere in that apartment complex. Like, now, you used to have the car by the person. Yeah. So you know?
Or he's in the back getting high. See, that was the thing. It was like a mobile party spot. Mm. I had friends with vans, and we would just park it at the park and get high, and then...
You still have a friend with the van. His name's Dexter.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah.
But Dexter, you're piloting this van, right?
Sort of, right?
Are you? I mean, are you driving?
Do I drive it?
Well, last time you and I hooked up and had Mexican food, we eat it that day, by the way. We're weird that way, Dawson.
Highfalutin.
I'll try to plan it with Dexter. Where I'm like, what if we meet at Paquito Mas on a Wednesday, order, then we come back on Friday.
Right.
Hey, Dexter, it's Adam. Hey, I got a 40-old burrito. It's ready to go.
Rewrapped.
But you drove your van over yourself, right?
Yeah, it's my daily driver. Yeah.
It just when you're by yourself, you don't have like a single one-man car?
I just like my van.
Rock and roll!
I should put a waterbed in it or something.
And do you have your jet now?
Yeah.
You got a jet?
Yeah.
Good. Yeah. Are you flying it to the gigs?
We will be, yeah.
You will be. So give us a tour. What is the range? Like, let's say you keep it out here in Los Angeles. What's the furthest away on tour you can get before it's time to stop and refuel?
For gas, I can go about halfway across the country. So maybe Kansas City.
Omaha. Like that.
Omaha. Can make it Omaha.
Stop, pick up, Nick.
Yeah.
And you get to... and. How great is this for you? Because you can do everything like on your own terms, right?
It's really awesome, especially for tour.
Right. You can fly ahead to the next city or fly back home that night or whatever,
get
right?
home that night, which is nice. You know, like we did a bunch of shows on the West Coast where we played, say, Sacramento or Portland, and just go play the show and you come right home, which is great.
Because you can't go to sleep right after the show because you're all amped up. So, you know... an hour flying or something.
Well, the bummer when you go, the commercial part, as I learned from Leno, the bummer of going out and doing a show is you have to like spend the night at the hotel or whatever, and then you leave the next morning. But you always kind of, you don't wake up in your own bed.
Right.
And when you want to talk about long range, I played Atlantic City and Leno played the theater next to my theater. And I flew home with him. He flew into Atlantic City that day and flew out of Atlantic City that night.
That's awesome.
He didn't sleep in Atlantic. And it doesn't get much further away from LAX or this area than going to Atlantic City. You have to fly into like Philly, I think. But anyway, he flew into the private whatever. And he flew out that night. We landed in Van Nuys at like 4 a.m. or something like that.
You can do that.
Yeah,
it's nice.
Now, they don't let you, like at a place like Burbank and probably LAX, they'll probably put a limit, a curfew, right?
They have noise curfews at most airports.
Yes. The thing about Van Nuys is everyone you're waking up is here illegally.
Oh, okay.
So they tend not to complain. Like, they're like, I'm going to find my city councilman and raise hell. Your flight path is over Tijuana. Yeah. Essentially, and nobody there is going to go. You fuck around with guys on the west side, and they're getting hold of their city council. Yeah.
Santa Monica Airport's getting shut down for that exact reason.
Yeah.
Right. The different.
They're shutting down the airport.
Santa Monica Airport is getting shut down because there's a bunch of white pussies over there who have
gentrified the neighborhood.
Have gentrified the neighborhood. Van Nuys, not so much. A bunch of illegal folks over there, and they tend to do a little less complaining.
Indeed. Yeah.
Indeed.
Yeah. At John Wayne, if you take off to the south, there's a pretty severe noise restriction because that's where all the rich Newport.
That's right. Balboa Island.
Are.
Yeah.
OC. But
if you take off the other direction, no problem. You can just gun it.
Yeah, it's kind of nobody complains like Whitey, and now let me hold on a second. I want to give some props to my my black brethren over there. You guys are doing the wrong kind of complaining. You guys put the candle through the paper plate and, like, hit the streets or
vigil style.
Show up to the city council meeting and have to be dragged out of there because, you know, you're fanning your face and everything. Got to do what Whitey does. Whitey gets together, goes, finds the district selectman, raises hell with that asshole.
Form a committee, bitch.
Next thing you know, the whole airport shut down.
Yeah, get specific.
Get signatures.
Sitting in the city council meeting and screaming never works. You got to get together. Go find the other white dude, and next thing you know, entire airport's being closed down.
Yeah,
that's how you do
Lean on a council.
That's how you
that's
do
how you
it.
Complain.
Yes, you're taking the picture of the slain daughter and putting on a cardboard box and like holding it over your head out in front of your house. That
it makes for a nice tweet. Don't get me wrong.
It's great for the local news, but it doesn't really get the. You want to get the airport shut down? Get Whitey that's in right. there. He'll shut that airport down. Yeah, they're literally taking Santa Monica Airport and closing it down. I want to thank Tommy John. I'm wearing him right now. Tommy John for this half of the show. TommyJohn.com/Adam over there. Get 20% off. True Car as well. Geico as well for this half of the show. So, Nick, how does it come about? I'm hearing all your songs at 311 and Offspring in my head, and I'm going, yeah, that's good. They're about the same. I could see that audience. Who reaches out to whom?
Let's see, how did that happen? I think our agents talked, and we've toured together before and had a great time around 2010-ish. And so, you know, it's time to do it again. And we in the past did the Unity Tour, which is like kind of our moniker, and so we came up with a new name, Neverending Summer, because we both have this kind of coastal – I mean, we've been in Southern California, 311 has, since 92, so this is – kind of our home, and so just kind of encompassing a summer vibe and a barbecue. There's going to be vapes and hot sauce and hombres and aliens and all the good stuff.
When the management starts to float the idea of doing tour, you know, maybe getting another band on board, co-headlining, whatever, is there an maybe it's spoken, maybe it's unspoken, is there a no-fly list? Is there like the third eye blind policy where like certain bands we're not touring with, like don't even bring these guys up, or like are there no certain guys you're cool with, you know what I mean? Like there's probably a limited list where you do well with, you like these guys, you guys are your scene, your friends, whatever.
Yeah, I think it was just brought up to the band of like, how do you guys feel about this? Would this be a good fit? And yeah, we knew the Offspring would we jump at that.
We'll turn the mics off real fast if you want to make a list.
Yeah.
We're friends with everybody, though. You know, we go
that.
From like
we're friends with everybody.
Most people, let's put it at that.
I've said it before, but you guys, one of you are probably playing the K-Rock Weenie Roast when the Third Eye Blind guy went and hugged on the guy from Green Day, then whacked him over the head with a bottle and all sorts of stuff. I mean, that was just that was rock and roll, man. Oh, wow. But that story was so bizarre, and I was just standing. I like watching Green Day, so when Green Day hit the stage, if you have all the right laminates, you go stand next to the stage. You just stand on the stage and a little bit, little bit to the stage right there, and you watch. You watched a band. And, God, it was – I'll tell you the story in a second. Some of you know. Did you guys play that one? Do you remember that that K-Rock Weenie Rose?
I want to hear the story.
I feel like
– played a few, but not –
311 and The Offspring have probably played a few. I remember clearly The Offspring and Drew and I getting ready to go out on stage or standing in the wing watching The Offspring at – the Weenie Rose, sorry, at the Acoustic Christmas, which was anything but acoustic at this point, at the Shrine Auditorium. You got to look it up, Maxipata, but the Shrine was probably built like 1923 or something, and the entire upper deck was going up and down, and it was going up and down. I used to do earthquake rehab work, and I feared for the safety of the people below and above. Like, the Offspring had this entire place jumping and the entire upper deck, because the place was probably built for, you know, to watch, you know,
the
Symphonics, the Oscars. Yeah. Al Jolson is staying for a third night.
Jump up and down.
Everybody stays in their seat, behaves themselves.
And by the way, the average weight of the person when that place was built was 141 pounds. Now it's morbidly obese. And the whole thing was like just bouncing. And Drew and I were like, I was watching as a former earthquake rehab guy. And Drew was watching as a physician. And we were like, we're both got to snap into action.
Concerned looks on their faces, shaking their heads.
Do you remember that, Dexter?
I remember that for sure. It was exciting and frightening at the same time.
I mean, it was a whole cantilevered upper deck just bouncing up and down. It opened its doors in 1926. According to my math, it took 3 years to construct, so 1923 would have been when it was built. Thank you very much. Wow. I'll tell you about Tommy John. Guessing when venues were erected and guessing the number of ingredients on protein shakes is kind of my...
It's your sweet spot.
That's where you
my
shine. Thing.
That's, you're showing off.
That's why they call it the Adam Carolla Show.
Right.
Tommy John.
Worst X-Man ever. I can guess the ingredients in any smoothie.
Now we talking, is it a box? Is it cylindrical? I need to know the shape and the ounces before I weigh in. All right, Tommy John, give Dad the gift of evolved underwear with limited edition Father's Day gift sets from Tommy John. Innovative designs like the time-saving horizontal quick draw fly, stay put waistband, and no wedgie guaranteed. Proprietary forward-thinking fabrics. Oh, so soft and so light. Dad will swear he's going commando. Plus socks that stay up all day. Lightweight undershirts that never come untucked. Second skin t-shirts that never shrink, all backed by the best pair you'll ever wear, or it's free. Guarantee I'm wearing them now. You guys got to get some Tommy John. No adjustment needed. Dawson.
Shop limited edition Father's Day gift sets at TommyJohn.com/Adam now and get 20% off your first order. TommyJohn.com/Adam for 20% off. TommyJohn.com/Adam.
Horizontal fly? Is that an improvement?
The horizontal fly is...
Game changer.
Literally, like... It's so simple, but it works so well. The other one hangs open and the ding-a-ling hangs out. The horizontal fly.
It's pretty fly.
It's
for a white
for
fly.
A white guy.
For a white fly. Come on.
Bam.
Come on.
Poor Dexter. The third eye blind thing was 98.
He was getting excited as he started to say, this is going to be great.
That's why I'm a professional.
Good. The thoughts, and here's the problem. Third Eye Blind incident was 98. Offspring played there in 97. 311 played in 96, so they kept them separated. All right, I tried. So they so
the kids on our right.
Okay, the Green Day's playing, the Third Eye Blind guitar player goes running out on stage, mimicking a like love struck fan who has made his way on stage. Now, he didn't make his way on stage. He was standing sort of in the wings with me, and he came running out like, oh, it's Green Day. And he grabbed onto Mike, I guess, the bass player, like around the waist, like from behind, like, oh, I'm a big fan, you know. And Mike didn't obviously know who was behind him or who was hugging him or what was going on. So he kind of reacted like a fan did just come up on stage. I think it wasn't Apollo. What's that guy's name? What's the guitar player from Third Eye Blind? Chris is giving me a look like, what are we talking about? I'm talking about the band that we're talking about? That guy?
Yeah, there are multiple guitars. You're thinking...
okay, well, give me the two.
And then Stephen Jenkins, and then...
It was Stephen Jenkins. I'll describe him as the guitar player from the... Yeah, the guitar player from the band has a name.
Tony Friedenelli or...
Brad, Chris, Alex.
He's got a weird name. Like, he's got a name like Apollo or something. Like, he has a weird... Or Monica or something. Anyway.
Oh, Arion.
Arion.
Yeah.
No, that's something to do with space. Arion, sorry, the bassist. Arion. Arion goes running out. Arion hugs Mike from behind. He's doing like a fanboy, like, oh, I love him so in love with the band. Mike kind of turns around, big Samoan bouncer guy who works for Green Day or just hates people smaller than him, comes running out, like grabs him and like tackles him down. Mike turns around to like see who is tackled to the ground, looks at him for a moment like, oh, it's Arion. Like it's the guy from the other band. And now he's going to like tell the bouncer, don't pummel the guy. He's goofing. He's from the other band. As if this happened to you, as if Dexter was playing and Nick came running out and your guys grabbed him or the other way around. And you turn around and went cool. I know this guy's cool. But he turned around and Mike just turned around and looked at him and then kicked him in the head, which is punk.
Yeah.
Like it's really punk. But you know what's even more punk? Arion got dragged off stage and like roughed up by the bouncer. And then Arion just went and stood behind one of the mobile bungalows because now it's 9 o'clock. It's dark outside. And he just stood in between the bungalows that they like park out there for the bands and the backstage. Arion, he just stood back there with a bottle. And when Green Day left the stage and were walking back to their trailer, he just hit him, just busted a bottle over his head.
Got personal real fast. Wow.
Yeah. You want punk? I got punk. That's punk. That's punk, right?
So Third Eye Blind out punks Green Day. Who would
have thought? That's right. Yeah. That's right. Ironically, the band that had an eye to give away.
Went after
one of the eyes. And they never, I think everyone just kind of wanted it to go away because they kind of gathered up Mike and just took him to the emergency room and no one ever really talked about it. And it wasn't like now there'd be
breaking
tweets
news,
and there'd be all kinds of feuds and all this kind of stuff. It wasn't that much. I think if you scour around, you can find like a little something, but not much.
Yeah, there are articles in 98. MTV covered it a lot, but eventually they just said a Third Eye Blind released a statement saying it was just an inner band prank. There's a bear hug.
Went awry.
Yes.
Wee.
Sweeping it under the rug.
Yeah.
Short-sheeting someone's bed, hitting him with a bottle.
This is in a time with all this stupid media and everyone's got a phone with a camera in it and stuff, we definitely have some footage of that if that happened.
International incident.
It's noted that there is no footage of it. They even put that in the article, and Arion released a statement saying, I'm sorry that my attempt at doing something I thought would be funny escalated into Mike getting hurt. It was never my intention. And my heart goes out to
Well, usually when you bust a bottle over somebody's head when they're walking back to their trailer.
Yeah, but she premeditated.
He didn't get the joke.
Yeah. He didn't get the joke of having a Heineken bottle busted over his head. Okay.
No sense of humor.
Yeah. Well, it was a great example of how people, now you see it in the news all the time, especially politically, which is, it's a great example of how people tell stories. Like, I was just playing a joke on him. I went up on stage and I hugged him and I'm sorry somebody got hurt. You're just taking the story and breaking it into two pieces, which is all I did was hug him on stage. Sorry he got hurt. You're leaving out
That's the second act.
It is the two things you're saying are correct, but you're leaving out the part where you hurt him with a bottle. That's the part that we're leaving out.
Laying in wait.
Mike was not hurt because you hugged him on stage. Mike was hurt
maybe his feelings. Yeah. But
his feelings could have been hurt.
His ego.
They don't get hurt. You get bruised.
Yeah, that's good.
I don't know why egos get bruised. Feelings get hurt.
Yeah, egos get bruised.
Yeah, Mike had a small fracture in the skull after the incident. That's why he went to the hospital.
Because a guy hugged his waist?
All he was hugged the guy.
Here's the thing. They say that they went backstage. There was a scuffle. And then there was a bottle hit him in the head. And then everyone said it was Third Eye Blind. Then later on, they said that eyewitness fans say that it was from a fan of Third Eye Blind, not Arion. Yeah, so I mean.
Plot thickens. Mm.
That was Dexter Holland's.
Good publicist. You guys should have hung out after 97. You missed all the action.
I guess so.
This is the next serial podcast, I think.
All right.
Who hit him with the bottle?
Let's take ourselves a quick break, and then we'll come back with news and the boys right after this.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Breaking viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gino Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Give news with Gino Grad.
The news with Gino Grad.
Well, Kim, yes.
Hold on, okay. Dexter. What's Jet A running? What's jet fuel running? I pass gas stations. Yeah. I can see what diesel costs, but
it's cheaper than regular gas. It's been going up. It's about $4 a gallon now.
Wow,
it is.
Yeah.
Cheaper than regular gas?
Well, I guess
the van takes it. Yeah.
It's about the van, par. Yeah.
It's I didn't know that. It's this high grade diesel, right?
Yeah.
And how many, I know it's all pounds, but how many gallons, what's it take to fill up the jet?
My jet holds about 500 gallons.
Okay. So then we just go $2,000 or so?
Yeah. I mean, if you look around.
That'll get you to Kansas City.
That'll get you to Kansas City, yeah.
Right.
It's
all
not
right.
That bad.
You can look around for discounts, like, you know, going to an Arco station or whatever.
Costco,
you know?
If you remember. Mm-hmm.
I can get it for $3.50 on a good day.
All right. Sorry. Just curious.
Well, sure. Kim Kardashian West met with President Donald Trump and other officials, including senior advisor Jared Kushner, at the White House on Wednesday to discuss prison reform. The entrepreneur and reality star has advocated for a pardon for a low-level drug offender named Alice Marie Johnson, who's served more than 20 years in prison. This was basically... This Alice Marie Johnson story was like kind of like a Facebook thing that went viral and got Kim Kardashian's attention. She really got behind it. Prison reform has been a key issue for Kushner. Earlier this month, the White House backed First Step Act, which would expand programs for prisoners and allow for more home confinement. That was approved by the House Judiciary Committee. And like I said, this story about this woman went completely viral, I don't know, a couple years ago, and Kim's
what
super into
it. What was the story?
It's basically, she was like a 62-year-old grandmother who lost her job, and she ended up making, you know, bad decisions or whatever, and kind of was like a drug dealer, drug mule, somehow involved in this drug ring, you know, quote-unquote victimless crime, just sort of being a middleman. And when she got arrested, I believe she got a life sentence without the possibility for parole.
Did she have
a great-grandmother or something?
Did she have a bunch of priors or something?
I don't think so. I think that was part of the story, and Chris can double check, but I'm pretty sure the whole point was how outrageous is it that this is a 62-year-old great-grandmother with no priors who was a low-level, you know, affiliate
seems
of a drug.
Weird.
It is weird, and I could
like
be wrong, but I thought that was the story.
Seems like there should be some priors here for that sentence.
Yeah,
but
it's odd. It's very
odd. I don't like any people that aren't dangerous incarcerated. Like let's really just sort of break down the nature of incarceration.
You're too dangerous to be out on the street with society.
Right.
Well, I'm going zoo analogy at the risk
careful,
taking a turn for the racial and the ugly. Get Roseanne Barr on the speed dial.
She'll back you up.
I want her blessing on this. But what I'm saying is, well, let's think about this. A zoo has cages and pits and stuff for lions and polar bears and stuff, and then it has like the petting zoo
right.
part where you can just walk
interact.
Around because somebody's deemed this group of animals not dangerous.
Baby goats.
And this group of animals as dangerous.
Alligators.
And your kid can't hang out with the hippo
right.
is going to get gored. Can go hang around over there with the llama mm-hmm. over there because no big deal or whatever it is. And I think as a society, we kind of figure that one out.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I don't want my kid to go over there, but he doesn't get to go over there. Or he doesn't get to intermingle. Like,
right.
we need these. This group
barriers.
Needs to be contained. They will hurt somebody.
Right.
That's why we need them in this pit, in this
right.
wall that can't get over. All right, so I don't want to live in a world where we build a maximum security pit for the sheep and the llamas because I'm like, they're not going to hurt me.
Yeah, that's not time well spent or money well spent.
No. So what I would like is the folks that can do damage to you or that have proven to be prone to do damage to you, those folks I want kept somewhere where they can't get to the kids. The folks that have done something, you know, consensual, or prostitution or drugs or other things of that nature, taxes, didn't pay their fair share in taxes, or they owe the IRS, or whatever, even white-collar stuff, whatever Martha Stewart did, insider trading, whatever. In a weird way, even your Ponzi pyramid scheme ripoff guys and stuff like that. I want those guys earning, paying taxes. I don't want them to enjoy all the same freedoms we have. Maybe they can't leave the country or the state they're in. Maybe they have an ankle bracelet. But I want them working it off.
Yeah. You want them on the treadmill.
If Wesley Snipes owes the IRS, and presumably that means us, the American people,
$7.3 million, then I want him out doing Time Cop 5 and then handing the check over to us.
Right.
I don't want to pay $63,000 to incarcerate him. And unless Wesley is in there because he's proven to threaten somebody or put his hands on somebody or hurt somebody, that's a different situation. Yeah. So grandma's...
No priors, apparently.
No priors. Then not interested.
Just an odd story. So
this is what they're like mandatory minimums. Right, this is when they do that thing where it's like anybody possesses over tolerance. 1 ounce of whatever must do a mandatory minimum of 22 years. Right. That's why... The one shoe fits all doesn't work.
Right. And, and it's easy to knee-jerk make fun of this. Of course, there's a picture of Kim Kardashian standing with Donald Trump at the White House. It's ridiculous. But this is the thing I think we've always been, people talk about all the time. Why can't she do something good with her time? Why can't she do something that's valuable? And she is.
That's well put.
This is really, really amazing.
It's well put.
That's a weird picture, though. Look at it. I'll stand.
It is bizarre.
He's pretty happy about it.
Real Morticia.
And also, he must be saying, like, how about Kanye? He's planning on sending out another complimentary tweet? Or is that something you guys talk about?
Does he like me or does he like me
Check this box.
That's a weird one. The last one we had was Stallone and pardoning Jack Johnson, the first black heavyweight, blah, 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 the trans act or whatever.
The
man act, which I like. He took a woman across state lines and blah, blah, blah. And then Donald pardoned him. Trump pardoned him. The thing that's weird about that story is it came up with Obama a few times and he said no, which is weird. Like and other presidents. Like Jack Johnson, his heavyweight reign was like for 7 years from like 1906 to 1913 or something. And it was an archaic law, a racist archaic law. Like it's like saying, well, he was arrested for drinking from the wrong a drinking fountain in 1941, and like ours, and then we'd go, yeah, we stand by that. That's a clean arrest.
Almost done.
Right. What is it? And it's weird because he had been they wanted to, obviously, this isn't the first guy they thought of. They thought of Obama. Why didn't Obama do it? I don't know why it wouldn't be just go ahead, or let me stamp whatever I got to stamp.
Yeah,
or
it's a gimme. It's
Jack Johnson. Like, that's a weird one. And maybe Bush before him. Oh, was that Bush before him? Who'd we have before him?
Yeah.
Okay,
Bush.
Yeah. All right, sorry.
Very weird.
Be curious to find that one, the no-brainer out. Okay, got it.
Well, Dexter, I'm
so is it going to work? Are we going to get her pardoned?
Well, with this much attention, there would be no reason not to.
I agree.
Is very, very public, so why say, nah, we're not interested after getting all this press?
Well, she's done how much time?
Oh, I want to say 20 years, but Chris, I could be wrong. Because it's a life sentence.
Okay, well, we'll figure all that out.
It's been a good chunk of time. Dexter, very curious as to if you think this is worth it or not. A Louisiana televangelist.
Hold on, where's my van commercial, Max Pratt, as long as you're looking for stuff?
That's right. I have a lot of tabs open. I'm still looking for that van commercial, too. Are you sure his name was Tony V?
No, it was like Tony, I don't know, Q. Tony something from, like 90s custom van. We've found this one before.
Yeah,
black
I remember it was really hard with the back.
Big arms. All right.
Well, a Louisiana televangelist named Jesse Duplantis is seeking donations for a $54 million jet. He's seeking the donations in a video posted last week on his ministry's website. He says, quote, I believe that if the Lord Jesus Christ was physically on earth today, he wouldn't be riding a donkey. He'd be in an airplane flying all over the world. He says his 40-year-old Jesse Duplantis Ministries has paid cash for three private jets and has just been burning them up for the Lord Jesus Christ.
This guy, by the way, 21 years she's been in prison. So, yes, I agree with Kim. Time to get out.
Yeah.
Also, you ever been to the Paris Air Show, Dexter?
Never been.
Mind numbing.
Yeah.
That's how I would describe it.
So you went?
Yes.
Oh, cool.
Paris or Paris? California or France?
I was in France for the 24 hours of Le Mans.
That's right.
And like I was walking in a hotel and somebody went, Paris Air Show's in town. I was like, all right, want some tickets? I was like, okay.
Yeah.
And then went and saw, it's like that Chevy Chase movie where he's an arms dealer. Like, oh, you want to go through the pavilion, buy some Sidewinder missiles that are laser guided? Like, you can. like
already here.
They're on display.
Yeah.
Like anti-aircraft missiles and surface-to-air missiles and air-to-air missiles.
There was a Chevy Chase movie where he's an arms dealer?
Yeah.
Anyone?
Max Pata, put that on your hit parade.
I can look that up.
You'll look it up. Mid-80s, okay. Like cult. It wasn't like a Spies Like Us, but it was like around that around that time. Yeah, you'll find that.
Deal of the Century?
There you go.
Wow. We got to do an all Chevy Chase Rotten Tomatoes.
William Friedkin, the director of The Exorcist? Wow, my mind's blown.
I'm telling you, you like walk in to a pavilion.
And
you're like, you want to buy some Tomahawk missiles? We'll sell them. The guy standing there in like a uniform. And then you get on the private jets and they go, oh, this one's about a 4-year wait. And then they go, they do all the interiors in Israel, which is weird. It's like that was another part I remember. And I remember seeing guys in MiGs doing like the Cobra. Doing like in the MiG 22 or whatever, just doing the full wheel stand, like just weird, crazy stuff you didn't think you'd be doing a jet.
It's like a big middle finger sweeping by, you know.
The craziest move is they just brought out the Airbus double decker, whatever, that holds 650 people or whatever. And they had a guy up there like flying it like Barnstorm style, like getting some serious banks and, you know, you're buzzing the tower and stuff. And when a plane that big is going that slow and doing those maneuvers, you are freaked out when you're on the ground. Like you think, you know, Blue Angels and all that. When a plane the size, the bigger than a 747, is like flying really slow and doing real steep banks and stuff, it is freaky to watch it.
Well, I don't know if you guys are familiar with this jet, but Duplantis said God told him, quote, I want you to believe in me for a Falcon 7X.
Oh.
Are you familiar?
Yeah.
Is it worth $54 million?
Well, you can get them used, actually. They're way cheaper by used jets.
No reason to ever buy a new one, right?
People like new stuff, I guess. Well, there's a depreciation. There's a lot of financial hocus pocus that goes on. Why businesses buy really expensive planes because they can write off a lot of their expenses and stuff. But no, it's kind of like a car.
Right.
The old ones work just as good.
So get this one for $39 million.
Save your congregation $5 million.
You probably get it for half.
Really?
If you go back a few 5 years or something.
All
DuPont is just getting greedy.
Yeah. He should buy a used one.
Yeah.
This just in.
Oh.
Breaking.
What's his name?
Tony B.
Tony B.
Yeah.
This is it. This is the time we have all been waiting for. Tony, please tell us all about your Tony B signature series.
Okay, Leticia, you win. Step back a little. First of all, take a look at the beautiful ground effects and chrome wheels that we've added to the van conversion, plus the flowing lines of the high top. But these are only great ground effects.
That is a sweet van.
A young Dexter pokes his head out.
Hey, running boards to make it easier for you to enter and egress from this van conversion.
Yes.
There's so much to discuss in this van conversion. Let's start from the front. First of all, the driver's seat. Not only is six-way power, it has a vibration system, it has a heating system, has a power lumbar system.
Wow.
All for the comfort of the driver. It has a CD, AM/FM stereo, cassette player in the dash, full infinity sound, and a CD player on the side. So you have two CD players in this van conversion. Take a look at the wood in here. High gloss, highly polished walnut wood with inlay.
Inlay.
Absolutely beautiful throughout like the whole interior of the van conversion. Also, take a look at the fact that we have a 13-inch color TV set here.
No flat screen. That's for losers.
Two color TV sets sitting over the captain's chair for the back.
This is sweet,
now,
right?
Now, why do we have three TV sets? Well, not only do we have a video cassette player, but we have three game boards. So
all
three individual
picture Peter North on creatine if you're trying to get a look at Tony B's vibe. But yeah, there's one at some point where he tries to get her into a Ford excursion. And she's like, no, Tony, my back. Like she's struggling to get in. She's a woman who's 5'4 and 104 pounds. And she's like struggling to get into the Ford excursion.
Not that.
No, what'd I do wrong? Yeah.
This is just in, though. Perhaps the reason I've not heard of Deal of the Century, 13% on Rotten Tomatoes.
It was not well received.
It was not well received.
No, but it was Chevy Chase playing an arms dealer.
And Sigourney.
Oh, Sigourney.
Brian said Sigourney Weaver. In it.
Oh,
and
sorry.
The director of The Exorcist and The French Connection.
All-star cast and crew.
Is Freakin still alive?
Yeah, he's a very old man. He's still making movies.
I saw him last year at the Turner Classic Movie Festival.
He's still making movies.
I would like to find him. I'd like to corner him. And I'd like to tell him I was a big fan, and I love a lot of his older work. And then I would talk about Deal of the Century with Chevy Chase, and I would only talk about that movie. And that would be it.
He'd flatline. Yeah.
When I ran into Ben Stiller at Jimmy Kimmel's a few years ago in like 1993, oh God, probably like 92, somebody showed me a video where he did Color of Money, but for bowling, and he played Tom Cruise. Right. Was I telling you about?
Yeah, yeah.
We talked about this one before. Yeah. It was funny. And I saw it when I was like, I was still working as a carpenter, and I just ran into him at Kimmel's, and I just went, oh, hey, man. You're that guy. Like, I remember that. You did that video. You did that Color of Money video from like 90s, like 90. I was from 91. Yeah. It's like, that was really funny. And he's like, yeah. And I was like, what have you been up to since then? It's just pretty much the one video, or is there any working at all? Or is it just
change careers?
Just pretty much that video. Or, and, I think he thought it was funny that we just simply focused on that one thing from 25 years earlier. All right, let me focus on this. True Car, MSRP. You might know what it stands for, but what does it mean? How about invoice? How about list price? Dealer price can be confusing. Introducing True Price from True Car. Know exactly what you'll pay, including fees and accessories, before you go to the dealership. You know what the true price is. Get a great price because True Car shows you what other people paid for the exact same car, apples to apples. Let's say you want a van conversion.
Who doesn't?
Let's say.
From Tony B. You figure out exactly what it costs, what other people are paying. They got the captain's chairs. You get the captain's chairs. Certified dealers, and they are certified over at True Car, and they get them certified, and then you lock in your price, and they set their price competitively because they want your business. So when you're ready to buy new or used, you visit True Car. Enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features not available in all states. All right, Gina Grad, let's do one more.
All right. Well, a hotel valet has screwed up royally and somewhat impressively, actually, by driving a soft-top Porsche Carrera under another vehicle Thursday outside the Hyatt Regency Hotel in Australia. Show you a picture of that. Emergency workers cut the driver out from the Porsche as a crowd watched. The larger vehicle was propped up, as you're seeing here, propped up, and its wheels are anchored while the vehicles were separated. The black Porsche, its hood and the front bumper crunched and dented, was then backed into a tow truck. The hotel said in a statement it is investigating, but they said onlookers were looking at this and thought it was for a TV show, like some sort of a prank or reality show, but nobody knows why the hell this happened. Because the valet was parking the car.
I was thinking about this on the way in when I was on the freeway, and I was sort of always distracted by the part, ironically, when I'm trying to hit the Waze or whatever, the part that takes my eyes off the road is the part where the phone goes, are you driving this vehicle or are you a passenger? Then you hit passenger, but for the 3 seconds, you're not looking at the road. Ironically, their safety device is causing you to look at your lap and not at the road. And then I realized many cars have the self-braking thing.
Yeah, mine does.
And I'm perfectly fine with that notion because if I am looking down and lying to my phone, I have a rich history of lying to my phone because every single time it says to me, are you driving the vehicle? I'm definitely a passenger. If we were in England, I would for sure be a passenger. But I'm lying to the phone, and I think to myself, I would like the thing where it applies the brakes.
Yeah.
I don't know, Max Pata. We'll look in it for another show, run out of time. But that's going to be a standard piece of equipment, like airbags.
Yeah, the rear camera but right now,
it's not.
No.
And it would be kind of helpful because I feel like it would prevent this, right? And there's a lot of car driving stuff where the purist guys go, hey, I don't want some robot drive my car for me. The part where it breaks for you when you look down at your phone and somebody slides in front of you and hits the brakes, I'll accept that. I like driving. I like racing. And I will definitely accept that in a car.
Yeah, I love it.
This is kind of the European, the picture we're looking at is the European version, or the Japanese European version of the Aerosmith album cover Pump.
That's right. I was thinking that.
Wow.
Back when people knew album covers. Yeah. Like, how crazy is that, where you could see very clearly, you know, like, if I say Boston's first album, it's like, oh, yes, there it is.
That's the Flying Saucer.
Right. Yeah, like, you can see.
Look at you.
See it. I don't know that we'll ever get to that day ever again where you might see Kendrick Lamar's face or something on a song, but you know, like that album art now. Like that thing, like just that iconic Led Zeppelin Houses of the Holy or something or whatever. I don't know if we'll ever come to that place again.
Yeah. And thinking about Phil Hartman designing those.
Oh yeah, he was a graphic artist. Yeah. He'll be missed. All right, Max Bazzer, anything that I had on my list that we didn't get to?
I think that's it.
Shoreline Amphitheater. That's where I brought Drew's kids out as Hanson.
That's right.
I forgot.
People throwing bottles at those children.
First stop at the door. Yeah, they were horrified. It was probably unfair for me to do, but it's a memory.
It's funny.
I've seen many shows there.
Yeah. It's a great... God, that's a big venue, right?
Yeah.
Shoreline?
It's a cool outdoor venue.
Yeah, yeah, it's great.
Good
great
venue. Place. All right, so that'll be the first stop. That is coming up on the...
25th.
July 25th. All right. Oh, yeah. There we go. Mountain View. There we go. All right. Let me tell you about Geico. Everyone's got the to-do list. Go see 311 and The Offspring. How about that? Yeah, that's your list. Or how about save hundreds of dollars on your car insurance? Don't have to drop anything off or pick anything up. Just go to geico.com. 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on your auto insurance. Put that extra money in your pocket. Buy some Jet A. Let's get some range out of that Citation. Yeah. So, go to geico.com. 15 minutes could be saving 15% or more on your car insurance. All right. You know what to do with us. You can go to amcroll.com for all the stuff you want. I should also tell you this show is brought to you by sponsors like Simply Safe, and I recommend Simply Safe to everyone I know. SimplySafe.com/Adam. That is SimplySafe.com/Adam. And Reasonable Doubt, check me and Mark Garagus out over at Podcast One. Good stuff. And that guy's on top of his game, man. Mark Garagus is involved with like every single major case that's going on as we speak. Never Ending Summer Tour, 311 and Offspring, both co-headlining. So go to Live Nation. You can find out the dates and more dates. Tickets and more dates available at livenation.com. And look for some Gringo Bandito hot sauce. It's good for what ails you, man.
Thank you. Yes, it's out there.
We love it. We absolutely all use it here all the time. And by the way, you have any more in the van? I bet you have.
Why would you drive a van full?
You got a couple pallets back there, right?
A couple.
All right. So until next time, this is Adam Kroll for Vinny Tortorich, Dexter Holland, Nick Hexum, Gina Grant, Bob Bryan. Say it. Mahalo.
I did my own math and zero people care. Follow the Adam Carolla Show on the Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Carolla. Leave us a voicemail if you like it. 888-634-1744. Still some tickets left for the second show in Portland. The Ace Man taping the stand-up special, Portland, Oregon, June 9th. Get your tickets now at AdamCarolla.com.